Well, it was a long gospel, wasn't it? But I want you to know that the story that you heard is not about people 2,000 years ago. It's about us. It's about us today as well. Because some of my young people today, I want you to just say with me a couple of things. First of all, just say, I'm Lazarus. Well, I didn't hear that. I'm Lazarus. I'm Martha. I'm Mary. This is our story. This is about us. You know, one of the dangers when we hear all these stories in the Bible is to think, well, that's about people a long time ago. But it isn't. It's about us. And the Lord is doing some work in our life right now. Anyone here ever felt like you needed to get called out of a tomb? I said, well, getting up in the morning. But more serious things as well, real deep sorrows and depressions and struggles that we've had, and we feel all but dead spiritually. We've needed the Lord to call us out. We've needed others to help us, to untie us and let us go free. And so this story today is a story about us, about our struggles, and about what the Lord does in our life to set us free. And it's not just a one-time thing. All of us go through cycles in our life. We're all constantly dying and rising, dying and rising. And the Lord is constantly at work in our life, bringing us to greater and greater vision of His glory. So let's look at some of the ways that Jesus goes about working with Lazarus and Martha and Mary, which means you and me. This is our story. This is our song. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that the Lord permits Lazarus and Martha and Mary to go through a difficult time. He permits it. Notice it says that there was a man named Lazarus who fell gravely ill, and Jesus was informed of it. And Jesus said, this illness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God and for people to come to deeper faith in me. So he teaches his apostles, for now I am going to permit that Lazarus has this illness. Jesus could have just said, Father, take it away. But he said, no, for now we're going to let it be. Lazarus is ill, but this will not end in final death. This is for glory. This is for glory. Now, you know, in our life, all of us, let's be honest, there's a mystery. There's a mystery in our life as to why God does permit some of the difficulties that we experience to come up. It's not easy for us always to understand why the Lord allows bad things to happen in our life, or struggles, or difficulties, or depressions. The Lord, though, has permitted some of these things to afflict us. And once again, all we can say is, well, Lord, I don't always understand the reason, but your son Jesus teaches me today in this gospel, and listen carefully, Jesus says, whatever it is, this is for the glory of God and for your own glorification. Now listen, the Bible says, you may, this is 1 Peter I'm quoting, you may for a time have to suffer the distress of many trials. But this is so that your faith, which is more precious than any gold, may by its genuineness lead to praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ comes. You know, no cross, no crown. If you think you should always be up and never, never down, I've come to remind you, no cross, no crown. So there is a place in our life. Job says, in the book of Job, Job says, God knows the way that I go, and when I have come through this fire, I shall come forth as pure gold. Are you praying with me, church? So the Lord permits these struggles in our life. Another text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that Paul says that these momentary afflictions are producing for us a weight of glory beyond all compare. You know, the devil wants you to be discouraged. But just tell the devil, sorry, devil, I'm encouraged. Because whatever the affliction, it's producing. It's producing. Now, young people, I want to say to you, there's a role in your life for struggle, for difficulty. And you know, we who are the adults in your life are sometimes the cause of it. In fact, sometimes we lead you into challenging and difficult situations. And you know why we do it? Because you need to be challenged to grow. Sometimes you got to face your fears. I was so impressed with our young cantors today, because I tell you, until I was in high school, I could never stand in front of a crowd and sing or talk or do anything. Just leave me alone. I don't want to do it. Leave me alone. But you know, some adults, my parents included, came to me and said, Charles Pope, I challenge you to step up and face the music. And now you can't even shut me up. But you see, what happens in life is that God does permit trials and difficulties and fears and things like that to challenge us and to help us to grow. So again, are you glad that the Lord is helping you to grow? Again, trials, difficulties. So once again, and we're going to experience all those sorts of things in our life. So brothers and sisters, we're just mindful that God does permit these things. And He has a reason. He has a reason for our sister who just needed to leave Mass. He has a reason. But God wants ultimately to glorify us. Now the next thing I want you to notice is not only that the Lord permits Lazarus and Martha and Mary to go through difficulty, but I also want you to know that He pauses. He pauses. Now the Lord pauses. There's something very strange in the text today. The Lord says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so when He heard that Lazarus was gravely ill, He waited two more days where he was before He went. Someone say, that's crazy. You think that if you love somebody and you hear they're in trouble, you run to be at their side, amen? You run. But the Lord waits. He pauses. And the text says He does this because He loves them. Come on, church. We all struggle with God's delay, don't we? Lord, I've been praying now for a long time. For a new job, for a job at all. I've been praying for the restoration of my health, or I've been praying for a son or a daughter to get right with You. Lord, I'm praying and I just have to keep waiting. What's going on, Lord? And the Lord says, wait. And you say, I don't think You love me. But this text says He waited because He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He needed to draw them a little deeper into the struggle to help them to really appreciate the liberation. You know there's a test in every testimony. And once again, the Lord therefore waits a couple of days before He goes. And we're going to talk about this more in a minute, but listen, church, He's doing this to strengthen their faith. The most precious thing to the Lord for us is our faith. That's how He saves us. And so He waits because He loves. Now listen, there's so many texts in the Bible that teach us to wait. In the book of Psalms, we read over and over again, wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says, in waiting and prayerfulness, your strength will lie. We got to learn to kind of wait on the Lord and wait on Him and wait some more. I don't have simple answers for you why the Lord makes us wait in every case. Every individual case is different. But all I know is that this text says that it's part of His love to make us wait. Now, young people, I'm going to tell you the same thing from the standpoint of sometimes what your parents do. Sometimes the most loving thing to do for you is to let you learn and work it out for yourself. Sometimes we could rush to your side and solve every problem for you just like that. But you know what? Sometimes it's best for us to stand back and let you work with it a little bit on your own first. You see the wisdom in that, right? Just giving you simple answers and solving every problem for you isn't always the best thing, is it? So sometimes, because we love you, we wait to help. We stand back and we let you struggle with it a little bit and live the question and work with it. And sometimes you get it on your own and you say, wow. And you learn even more deeply that way. You see the vision? And as you see the vision, I hope some of us see, sometimes God has to let us live the question, work the struggle. He can rush to our aid and solve everything instantly. Yes, he can. Someone say, God is able. But in the end, I'll just say to you that sometimes God, because he loves us, says, I want you to work with this. I want you to live through it. Now, brothers and sisters, there's an old song that you've heard me quote many, many times before, and it simply says, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. Ah, but he guides us with his eye, and we follow till we die. And we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We're going to tell the story of how we've overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by. So you notice again today, this gospel begins in sort of a paradoxical way. A man is very sick, and the Lord permits it. And not only does he permit it, but he pauses and waits. And this is part of the way the Lord works with us. It's a mystery. I don't have simple answers for you. But I can testify that the Lord has led me through some struggles, but he permitted those struggles, and because of them, and because he didn't just rush and solve it like that, I'm stronger, I have stronger faith, I've discovered abilities I didn't know I had, because the Lord led me into challenges and into the crucible of suffering, I'm a stronger and a better man. Can someone else testify? There's just something about the cross and about our struggles that calls us home and makes us strong. So there's a mystery of how God's love interacts with this help that all of us need. So the first thing I want you to notice today is that there is a very serious problem. Lazarus is near death, and the Lord permits it, and the Lord pauses. But the next thing I want you to notice now, the Lord's going to roll up his sleeves now, and he's going to get to work. The next thing I want you to notice here about this text is not only does the Lord permit, and not only does he pause, but he also pays. Finally, the Lord says to his disciples, all right, we are now going to go to Judea. Now, our good friend Thomas, Thomas, the doubting apostle, he's up there on our wall. Thomas says, you are crazy. Lord, they are plotting to kill you in Judea. There are death threats against you. Why should we go to Judea? What? That is not so smart, Lord. That's what Thomas says. And Jesus says, our friend Lazarus is ill, or he's asleep. And they say, well, if he's asleep, someone will wake him up. Don't worry about it, man. I mean, Lazarus is dead. And I am going to go and raise him. Thomas sort of throws up his hands and says, all right, let's all go to Jerusalem and die with him. Are you praying with me, church? Thomas is exasperated. But listen, Jesus is going into trouble. Jesus is coming into harm's way. Jesus is coming into harm's way. Listen, he's going to, do you understand something? I want you to listen carefully to this. Jesus is going to pay for what he's doing. He is going to pay for it. Because do you know, if you read this gospel, if you read this gospel, you will see that not only does Jesus go to raise Lazarus from the dead, but because of this, the temple leadership, the scribes, and the Pharisees, do you know what they plot to do? They plot to kill Jesus for what he's doing. Isn't that dripping with irony? Jesus goes to raise someone from the dead, and the temple leadership plots from that point forward to kill him, to put him to death. Do you understand what the Lord is going through for us? Do you understand what our salvation cost the Lord? 1 Peter says, you were not saved from your sins by some diminishable sum of silver or gold. You were bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Oh, the Lord comes to get into trouble for us. The Lord will pay mightily for what he's about to do for Lazarus. But remember, you are Lazarus. You are Lazarus. You see the vision? Never forget the price that the Lord pays. We may ponder that he permits suffering for us. We may ponder that he pauses, but never forget he paid. He paid it all. Somebody say he paid it all. Now the next thing I want you to notice is not only does he permit, not only does he pause, not only does he pay, but next, he prescribes. He comes into the village, and even still, he doesn't rush to the tomb. He stops, and he says, "Where is Martha?" And Jesus, coming upon Martha, Martha runs to him and says, "If you had only been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says, "Your brother is going to rise. I know. He'll rise someday at the end of time." That's what she says. And Jesus says, "No, Martha, look at me now. Martha, look at me." Remember, we're Martha now. "Martha, look at me and listen. I am the resurrection and the life." And then he asks her a question that you have to answer. Do you believe this? Do you believe? The Lord is saying something very important to us now, church. He is saying that without faith, we're not going to make it. But with faith, all things are possible. The Lord stops. Before he runs to the tomb and raises Lazarus, he's looking for some faith. He's looking for some belief. Now, some people say, if I would only see miracles in my life, then I would believe. No, that's not the way it works. It's not that miracles cause faith, but that faith causes miracles. Are you praying with me? If you believe, all things will become possible for you. Over and over again, the Lord teaches us how important faith is. We think, wait a minute, Lord, he is rotting in a tomb. Go to Lazarus right away. And he's still working with Martha and Mary and saying, I need to draw some faith from you. Listen, the Lord is more concerned about your spirit and your soul than your body. The Lord is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. He's more concerned about your faith than your creature comforts and your physical well-being. The Lord cares about everything, but his first priority is for us to have a soul that's faithful and that is alive. The Lord stops and he says, before any miracle is going to happen, I got to check your faith. And Martha says, Lord, I have come to believe in you. Lord, I do believe. And so it is that we have this tremendous call, this prescription that the Lord has. Now remember, we're Lazarus, and we're Martha, and we're Mary, and the Lord's trying to work with us. Anyone have struggles? Anyone have difficulties? Listen, the Lord permits some of them, and he even pauses before he answers us. Oh, but church, I want you to know something. He's willing to pay, and he now prescribes that we would redouble our faith, that we would become even stronger in our faith, that we would not become discouraged, and that we would say to the devil, I'm encouraged because whatever I'm going through, it's producing. And my Lord rose from a tomb, and he will take me out of every tomb in my life. The Lord will do it. The Lord is calling for faith, church. The Lord is asking you, do you believe? Do you believe? Now, I know how we should answer the question, but the Lord is asking you a real question. He doesn't want a pat answer. He wants the real answer. And the honest truth that some of us have to say is, I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Lord, I'm trying. Strengthen my faith. And the Lord says, that's what I'm doing. But do you see how critical faith is? All right. We've gone through most of the stages. We've got two more to look at. First of all, there's a grave problem, and the Lord permits it. He pauses. He's willing to pay. He prescribes. There's faith. Now listen, the Lord experiences passion. He's passionate. After talking to Martha and Mary and drawing faith from them, Jesus now goes to the tomb. And as he draws near the tomb and he hears the weeping and the crying, the Lord himself becomes overwhelmed. He becomes overwhelmed, and he himself starts to weep. Listen, church, he already knows he's going to raise Lazarus. He's told us that. Why is he crying? Listen, your grief, your pain, your struggle moves the Lord. He himself takes upon himself the same grief. As he looks at his friend who lies dead at a tomb, he is overwhelmed and shares that grief. The Lord is not immune from your sorrow and your grief and crying with you and mourning with you. Scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. God weeps with us. He sees our sorrow and our pain and our grief, and he himself shares it. Do you see the vision? But I want you to know one more thing about this grief. There's something hidden in the Greek. In the Greek text, it's translated today that it says that the Lord was not only full of grief and weeping, but the text also says that he was perturbed. Now the Greek word here is a strong Greek word, embrimiomai, which means, literally, to be snorting with anger. He's angry. He's angry. What's that all about? Listen, we've all suffered the death of loved ones. Some of us have experienced tragic loss. Some of us have experienced sudden loss. And it may not be the death of a loved one, it could be the loss of a job or a sudden change in fortune. And listen, we weren't just sorrowful, we weren't just anxious. Church, I can tell you, when my sister died in a fire, suddenly, when my mother died, suddenly, I wasn't just sorrowful, I wasn't just anxious, I was mad. Why? Why? Anyone ever felt that way? We don't always understand, and we grow angry. And the Lord himself also, as he comes to this scene and he sees what sin and death have done, and he sees the grief and the pain, he's not just sad and weeping, he's also angry. Snorting with anger, the text says, filled with indignation. This is what Satan has done. This is what sin has done. The grief and the pain that my people experience and that I experience, all of this, the Lord shares with us our anger, our sorrow, our shock. The Lord is passionate here. You see the vision? As God, he will raise Lazarus from the dead. But as man, he is with us in our grief, our pain, our shock, our anger. The Lord experiences all of it. Are you praying with me? Don't you ever think that God doesn't know what you're going through. This text is rich It says the Lord has suffered with you every step of the way. Every grief you felt, He's felt. Every sorrow you felt, every shock, even the anger, He felt it all. He has felt it and been with you every step of the way. All right, we come to the final stage. Remember, we're Lazarus and we're Martha and we're Mary. We've got a crisis going on in our life, and we see how the Lord is ministering to us. First of all, He does permit it. That's the mystery, but He has His reasons. He pauses because He loves. He's willing to pay the price. He prescribes faith. He walks with us and experiences our passion, our anger, our frustration, our sorrow. He too is passionate with us. He suffers. And finally, He prevails. Church, I said, He prevails. He stands in front of that tomb and He says, enough of this. And He says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. And listen, young people, pay attention now. Your pastor's about to try to imitate Lazarus coming out of the tomb. The text says he's still wrapped up with all the burial cloths, and only his feet, even his face is covered. Don't miss this. This is great stuff. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus begins to come out of the tomb. But do you notice something? Church, healing and coming to new life is not just one and you're done. Lazarus still needs help, doesn't he? He's been raised from the dead. Someone say hallelujah. Oh, it may be Lent, but we just cried it out anyway. Church, hallelujah. He's coming out of that tomb, but he still needs help. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus says to the bystanders, this means you. This means me. Jesus says to the bystanders, untie him and let him go free. But who does that? Jesus does it, but he wants to do it through you and through me. Jesus and I have a personal relationship, and he has summoned me, church, out of many a tomb. I'm going to give you a little witness now. He summoned me out of many a tomb. But I promise you this, I want to thank you, because you are the ones who have untied me and let me go free. Jesus said to you and to me, he says, your pastor I am raising from the dead. It's me. He's raising me from the dead. But look at me. Help me. And the Lord says to you, Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Parish and all the other parishes I've been, he says, your pastor, I'm raising him from the dead. You can't even shut him up anymore. Untie him and let him go free. And through your prayers, through your example, through your support in difficult moments, through your generosity, through your advice, your encouragement, and your admonishments, you are untying me and you're letting me go free. Jesus called me out of a tomb, but he's asking you to untie me and let me go free. And I pray that I, in your life, am also helping you to go free. Jesus raised you from a tomb. But part of my task and the task of this entire parish leadership is to untie you and let you go free. Young people, the Lord died for you and rose for you and called you out of a tomb. But part of our job is to untie you and let you go free. It's an ongoing work, isn't it? One of the ways I can untie you now and let you go free is to complete this, to end this homily. So I'm going to do it. But I want you to know something. Do you see the vision here? We've all struggled. We've struggled. And some of us are struggling right now. The Lord permits it. Sometimes he pauses, but he prescribes faith. He prescribes it, and he's willing to pay the price. And then he gets down with us and experiences our pain and our grief, and then calls us out of some tombs, and then says to others, untie them and let them go free. Oh, the Lord, church, is working his purposes out. This is what the Lord is doing in our life. And so to conclude, I want you to know that I have it on the best of authority. On the best of authority. That as Lazarus came out of that tomb, he was singing an old hymn. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. But Jesus lifted me. Church, he untied me and let me go free through so many people in my life. Church, he picked me up and turned me around. He lifted me. He put my feet on solid ground. I said, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. That's what he was singing as he came out of that tomb. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, he permitted some stuff in my life. He even paused, but he paid it all. He called me to faith. He suffered with me, called me out of a tomb. Jesus lifted me. Amen. Amen.